Hey, Santi, how was Hawaii?
It was amazing.
Is it on?
Yes, it okay. is.
How was your trip, Santi? How was
it? It was great. Still a lot of surfing, a lot of eating. Went to my friend's wedding. It was really nice. Took some pineapples home. My mom loved them. She loves pineapples.
Can you get pineapples through customs?
Yeah. I put them in my surf bag. Yeah, I had a 10-foot long surf
Are
bag.
Are pineapples that better? That much better?
They're
in
like my mom. So what my mom said is the ones that you buy at the grocery store. Yeah. They don't have any smell, no sweetness, nothing. She said the ones that from there, they just naturally smell really sweet, and like they ripen a lot better. So they're
I love your pineapples, Santi.
Yeah,
your pineapples.
Yeah. So my mom was really happy. Got her macadamia nuts.
That's good.
Yeah.
How was the wedding itself?
The wedding was great. We didn't go to the morning ceremony.
We talked about this. This craziness.
Yeah, the nighttime we went to dinner. You parked the car, you walked up to the building, you opens up, there's like a bar, a little floor, and then you walk straight back, and this the ocean, like grass and
That's
the ocean.
Nice.
Yeah, awesome. And they had a nice sunset, really pretty.
How was your room? Nice?
Oh, yeah. The first couple nights I had my own place, and then I shared a room with my two other friends, a couple. It was cool. They were like bickering a little, but you know, as couples do. So,
well, that's why you're lucky to be single, Santi. Yeah. No bickering. No issues, no high maintenance, nothing
exactly.
going on. No do this, do that.
Yeah.
What did you surf every day?
I surfed at least 4 days out of We couldn't surf every day because some days we were traveling to a different island. But yeah, I surfed most days.
Santi, you have a good life, my friend.
It was good.
You do? Yeah. I see how the distortion feel.
Yeah,
I'm trying to give
yeah,
Steve Jobs. You have a good life.
Yeah, I know.
You have a good life. Yeah. And this job pays for that good life. Santi.
Yeah.
All right. So, awesome.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too. Whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast. Everybody, we had a nice little start there with Santi's vacation, but I want to discuss a few things today. What I'd like to discuss, and I took notes, Santi.
Notes, I wanted to be clear.
I want to discuss a couple of things. Number one is, I wrote down here, why are you not doing what you want to do? Why are you not doing it?
That's really kind
of the topic of this session. Why are you not doing the thing you want to do? What stops people from doing what they want to do?
Maybe for me it'd be like fear, maybe.
So fear. So really, people know what to do. The reason is why they're not doing it.
Fear of failing.
So fear of failure is one. Fear of embarrassment.
Maybe judgment from others.
Yes, fear of embarrassment. Those are probably the biggest two that stop everybody because you're afraid of failing, so you never try. You're afraid of embarrassing yourself in front of everybody else to do something new.
Right.
So right off the top of my head, it brings me back to my father in the 60s.
Okay.
My father in the 60s started running and jogging. I think I told this story before, but he was a runner. No one would exercise, right?
Yeah.
And everybody would laugh at him and say, this is stupid, embarrass him. And like, we're saying, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Why are you running? You're on the smallest level. And then the 70s hit, and the fitness boom started to go, blah, 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 and tennis. And everybody started to go, hey, John, can I go for a run with you? Can I do this? Can I do that? So you're always alone in the beginning. You're always by yourself in a lot of these things. So realize just because you're alone, it doesn't mean you're incorrect.
Right.
You have to understand that going and doing something outside of the norm, you are going to be alone. You are going to be shamed in a way because most people are miserable.
Okay.
And they would prefer to be miserable, so they don't want to see you changing that norm. Same thing like alcoholics. I think we talked about this on the podcast. Alcoholics, when someone's trying to clean up, don't want that person around. They don't want a mirror to what is going on in their own life. So they do not want someone else cleaning themselves up. It's better just all of us stay drunk and all of us stay in this situation.
Right.
So you have to go it alone. You have to take those risks to get to the other side. And a perfect example, running this business, went alone, No one would help. No one thought it was going to succeed, blah, blah, blah. You know, you talk about on a financial level, no one wanted to give me any money. No one wanted to help me out.
Right.
And now everybody wants to give you money because they see the success.
Yeah.
Right. So that's just a simple example. So you're going to have to go alone. You're going to have to take care. I was just listening to the CEO of NVIDIA, and they basically were bankrupt in 97. They weren't going to make it, right? And they had to take these risks, and they did this. Like, it's everybody's on the edge of bankruptcy. It usually happens. It's very rare that you start out and you just kill it. Now, in our situation, it was a different situation. Luckily, we had an internal business, and we needed to move it to somewhere else, and that was just for me teaching forever. But still, in coming to a larger facility and building that up, there's a lot of risks, a lot of challenges. And you could still go bankrupt quite easily trying to leverage that.
Okay.
So really, so we're going to go through all these reasons and how to be successful. It's with anything. It's with business and on the tennis court. You first need to start, and I'm just going to look down at my notes. You first need to start in the right direction. The problem is we have all these ideas, all these options we think, and we just don't start in the right directions. It's analysis by paralysis. I have all these ideas, all these things you do, and you never start. So first, find the right direction. And the best thing to find the right direction is to find the thing that has the most leverage. So you don't want to – the best way to look at this is if you're going to be a successful tennis player, say you want to be a professional tennis player, or you have to realize the parameters. Everything is going to take 5, 7, or 10 years. No matter what you do, whether it's starting $1 million business, you want $1 billion business, they actually will take just as much time and just as hard. So if you want to be a professional tennis player, it's going to be just as hard as being a successful tennis business or a successful teaching pro with a huge lesson book, whatever. They will all take is just as much time. Running a successful business will take 5 to 7 to 10 years. Yeah. I think we've been here for 15 years, and I feel like we're finally getting to a point where we maybe know what we're doing in that sense. So being a professional athlete is going to take that long, 10 to 15 years. But you have to figure out where the most leverage is. So is the most leverage is in saying, I'm going to be a pro tennis player?
Yeah.
Well, look at the numbers of a pro tennis player. You've got to be, there's thousands of tennis players. You're ranked in the thousands.
Right.
You've got to be top 33 in the world? Out of all of those, there's a pickleball.
Yeah.
We're live, and I give a pickleball to this customer service at all times.
okay.
So you need to be top 33 in the world where you don't have to qualify for events, and you get in, you have a decent life. And if you're 33, you're not making $20 million a year. It's not happening, right? You're not even making probably $2 million a year.
Right.
Maybe. But if you are 200 in the world, you're really struggling.
Right.
You're really struggling to make ends meet. You have no physio. You really can't afford a coach. You can't really travel much. You're really struggling. If I'm got the 200th business in the world in tennis, it's not bad.
That's pretty good.
That's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to find the biggest leverage opportunity.
Yeah.
And you have to find it and be aware of it and just make quick decisions in that vein. So if I want, that's my experience. I tried to play professional tennis. I wasn't any good. I better get out of there quick. You know what I mean? I wasn't good enough. So you start something you have no leverage because it's both going to take that much time. So if you're a kid starting out high school, you're in college, you want to start a business or you want to do something, realize they are going to take 5 to 7 to 10 years. Find the area that's got the most leverage for the activity. So basically, if you want to look at the equation, I'll go back to the bottom here. Alex Hormozi was great with this equation. Leverage will increase based on work and the correct activity. That's basically what we just said. The leverage will increase. So basically, where's the activity? The volume times leverage equals output. So the number of activities times how much you get per activity. So again, I have to find something. So if I start a software company and that can be a $1 trillion business, the amount of volume and activities I put to that can be greater the leverage than say, okay, I want to be a professional tennis player.
Yeah.
The output is just different. So notice those things first before you want to start something, because some people start some things And they don't realize it's going to be hard either way. And then they get a result and they're like, well, this is not what I hope. Maybe I should have just worked for a company. I can make just as much money without all the time. Okay. So we went over the 10-year period. And the key with doing this is removing things. If you're not getting what you want and you're not where you want to be, do right things more and long enough. The problem is some people now find the right thing.
Okay.
They find it. And they don't do it long enough, and they don't do it millions of times. So they find the right thing, and they only say, oh, I've done this for 6 months. Yeah. What's going on? Just keep doing the same thing, same thing, same thing. Like we talked about constraints last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You found the one thing. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. You know, the more, let's say, the more you do better, the more you get, like the answers in the actors. So the more you do it, the more answers you get. Do it, do it, do it. Don't stop doing it. You find that one thing, keep doing it. This is the three questions to ask. What problem are you trying to solve? That's the biggest thing we talk about constraints. What are you trying to solve when you're doing this? Play out the scenarios of how it can happen, and which problem do you prefer? So in other words, if I'm trying to find what I want to do, if I want to play in my high school team, if I want to play Division I, iron out all the scenarios and the problems. Okay, so what are the scenarios of me playing Division I? I gotta get a UTR to 10 or 11 or 12, blah, blah, blah. Play out the scenario of saying I got to find the right coach, I got to do all this stuff. And in all of that, which problem do you prefer? So in other words, there's going to be a problem with either thing you have.
Right.
So if I'm really got a natural talent to play good matches, I have good strategy, I have good technique, that may be a good problem to solve. I may want to be, all right, I can probably solve this problem of playing Division I.
Okay.
There's always going to be a problem. Some people, like, it's the same thing. A problem is I want to be a professional basketball player. I've got a big problem because I'm not big enough or tall enough and all that stuff. That's a problem I cannot solve.
Right.
It's a problem that I would not prefer because I can't find it. So always find the problem you can solve. So if you're playing doubles or you're playing singles in high school and you're saying, all right, I'm a better doubles player than a singles player. Okay, let me play doubles, and I can solve these problems. I'm a good partner. I can motivate my partner better. I know how to cover the court. I'm a better volleyer.
Right.
But if I want to be a singles player because I'm a better baseliner, and that's a problem I can solve. So I can play from the baseline really well. I can't volley, and I don't need to volley so much when I play singles.
Right.
So figure out the problem you'd like to solve, and if you can solve that problem, it'll start other problems, but at least you have the ability. Say, let's like anything. It's like me putting you in a job. I want you to be, you know, I want you to do all sales calls, Santi. You hate sales, right? Uh-huh. That's a problem that you can't solve. That's not going to work for you.
Right.
Okay?
Makes sense.
So what do you want to be to be successful? You want to make – so, again, you have to figure out what success is. You want to make more money? Then you have – you know, we were talking about – we already went through this, blah, blah, blah. You can become a teacher. So, in other words – if you can't be 33 in the world, maybe you can be a professional coach. Maybe you can be a teacher. Maybe you can make a good sum of money and realize, hey, I don't, again, over my 5 to 7 years, if I can be a professional coach,
yeah,
I can have just as good as life as and make just as much money without being the number one coach in the world, right?
Right.
You become a teacher. I said input-output equation. Okay. What actions are will compound and stack over time. So you need the right actions that will compound, just like we said, the right practice. So if I want to get a better serve and I don't practice at all, that's not going to work.
Right.
So you just need to compound those actions. So if, again, if I need to hit 200 forehands, but I need to hit 1,000, so I hit 1,000.
Right.
So keep increasing the action of what you need to do. You have to know the input system code, bro. Okay, structure, discipline. Okay, so the other thing is you have to learn when you have a goal is you got to learn the word no. Because if I want to achieve something, there'll be a million distractions inside of that achievement.
So you need, like, sacrifice?
Yes, you have to sacrifice. There'll be a million things. And I know you can look at it like saying, I got to say no to going out. You can keep it simple. If you're in high school and you want to play on a team, if you're in college, you want to play on the team, you have to say no to a lot of things. You've got to say no to the party. You've got to say no to the concert. You've got to say no to going out. You've got to say no to a lot of things. And that just increases in life, too. You may have to say no to opportunities. Danny Meyer, who runs Union Square Hospitality, has all those restaurants. Shake Shack owns them.
Oh, okay.
He said it's been better for him to say no to opportunities than yes. He's had some great opportunities to open restaurants in New York, but you can't say yes to everything. And when you say yes to everything, you become a master of nothing. You have to say no to even things that seem interesting because you got to maintain focus. Mm-hmm. To me, the way I look at it, we don't start things because of failure. So what you need to do, like as we go over, is find the one thing and the one problem that you think you can solve and just do that today. I still want to try to write one or two things I want to do that day.
Right.
And just do them deeply, right? You can't get scattered all over the place. So if you can say whatever you want to achieve, if you can just think of one thing to do that day to start achieving it, that's it. Like, and you got to say no to everything else.
Okay.
I mean, is there anything that you've come against, Santi, that you feel like, or things, challenges right now that you need to say, hey, I need to say no to a lot more stuff? Or how are you feeling?
I wouldn't say necessarily I would say no to a lot more stuff. I think that I enjoy challenges because you don't grow without a challenge. If you get stagnant and you just do the same thing over and over that you're comfortable with, then you don't grow as a person. Okay. So it's better to struggle, learn something new, or even if it's a sport or, you know, an instrument or whatever it is, it's always good to challenge yourself. And if you hate it, you hate it. You figure out that you'll hate it. At least you tried to do it. Tried, you know, see if you like it or not. You know, and if you don't try it, you'll always wonder, you know, if it was the right move or not. And you just got to pick your just go with your decision and go with it, you know. The world's, you know, everything's, every day is a new day, so might as well.
So think about it this way. If you're afraid to start something, would it make logical sense that if you did something for 2 years every day, would you be better from 2 years ago at it?
I hope so.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
But I also think that you have to, whatever you're doing, let's say in terms of tennis, you could be hitting 1,000 forehands and then 10,000 forehands, but are you hitting the forehand the right way?
Well, that's what we talked about. Perfect practice.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. So
sure, you need to obviously have a baseline of what you're doing.
Right.
Is you can't, like, again, you can't be going for a sunset and you're heading east, right? Obviously,
right.
You have to be put.
You have an idea.
That's the biggest thing.
You
have to be put in the
right
direction. That's what we're talking about in the beginning. You have to find the right direction, and the right direction would mean I'm hitting the forehand correctly, I'm hitting the serve correct, I'm hitting the backhand correctly.
Right.
But if you, let's say all those are correct, and you do this for 2 years, you're going to be better at what you're doing.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Just find the thing, get put in the right direction. I don't think the problem is people don't find the right thing. And all of a sudden, they're practicing something wrong for 2 years and no one stops.
No, there's
the
a lot of...
The thing is, they just don't keep practicing.
Right.
And that's really what it is. That's what stops most people.
But I feel like with YouTube nowadays, you can learn a lot of things,
like,
easily. And a lot of people are experts in things. They like to share what they love, right? So, you know, everything is frustrating in the beginning. And if you don't keep going at it, then you'll never know if you really enjoy it or not. And if you don't go for it, then maybe you don't deserve to enjoy it. That's how I see
it. Well, of course.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, why would I, you know, why do I, you know, anything? Why would I deserve to finally have 2 days off? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I finally deserve 2 days off after all of this stuff.
Mm.
You've got to earn it, sure.
Right.
But it's just not unreasonable to think if I don't practice something for 5 years and I'm in the right direction, I'm not going to get better. So just, like we said, put your head down and do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it is. I mean, it's just the input. It's whatever input you're going to get. You're going to get the output based on how much input you're putting in, and you find the right leverage opportunity. A lot of people say, I want to be a puppeteer, and they practice it forever. That's great. You're probably not going to make any money, right?
Right.
If I want to be in puppets for my life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you have to be aware that sometimes your passion may not be the right thing.
Right.
So find what you're good at and do that. Don't find what you're just passionate at.
Right.
Usually they work together, but sometimes when you're passionate at something, it becomes your job, and then that's not fun.
Right.
Right? So, like, most of the time, and that's what happened, I love tennis, right? But then you're like, well, I'm getting passionate about business because I've been playing tennis for so many years.
Right. And you, like, meshed it together, so it's something you love.
So it becomes
encompassing.
Something I love.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And it works together.
Correct. But you have to, you got to be careful about, like, if spending time with my family and being married was a job, in other words, if I made money off of it or something, it wouldn't be as fun. It wouldn't be as passionate, right? You'd rather spend time with your family and have something that makes you money.
Right.
Right? Instead of, I don't know how people who fall in love with film don't think it becomes a job afterwards. After so many years.
Right.
Right? So I don't know. You know, you got to be careful about your passion being your kind of, your vocation being your avocation and all that
right.
stuff. Find something you're good at, go in that direction, and just keep repeating it, repeating it, repeating it, and repeating it.
Exactly.
And failure and fear of failure is only from looking around you and comparing with other people that want you to fail,
mm-hmm.
or they secretly will support you but still want you to fail. And that's the worst kind of person, too. They'll be like, oh, go for it, go for it. When you fail, they want to be the right person. So everybody will want you to stay in your box because it makes them uncomfortable. So you got to understand that. It's not you. It's usually them. And that's why you're not starting. Again, it's not the what. It's the why. You always know what we want to do most of the time, right? It's why.
You're afraid of judgment or you're afraid of, like, your friend finding out that, oh, I got a new job. I got a new position. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you think you'll like it? You think you'll be good at it? And then you're like, then you self-doubt. And you're like, what? Maybe I'll be really good at it. And, you know? And then they pretend like they know you. And they're like,
And get used to, because you'll have to, again, you'll have to say no a lot inside of that.
Yep.
Because that person will not be happy with what you're doing. So they'll try to get you to do other things with them. And then you got to say no and go that way again. They'll be like, come on out. Oh, come on out. They'll be like, okay, you want to do that? That's great. But they'll be like, come on out. Let's do this. Hang out. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, we've said 1,000 times, you are the 5 people you hang around with. If you got 5 people hanging around with you and they want you to steer away from what you want to do, those people you have to just X out.
Right.
You have to just, I mean, Munger said it at the Berkshire Hathaway conference. Get rid of toxic people out of your life immediately. They are just, they're not the right people. You need people around you that are going to support what you are doing and say, okay, you're bettering yourself. I want to better myself. It's just compounds. That compounds too. Friends compound. You find the right friends, they'll find the right friends. They'll support you, and then those friends will support you. And then, so why we're not doing, and that's most of the reason. Again, so if you are having trouble starting, pick one thing with the most leverage. Say no, block out 2 to 3 hours a day to do that one thing. Start from there. Anything else, Santi, today?
That was awesome.
That was awesome, good. Santi, keep the volume equation, buddy. Outputs, outputs, outputs. The amount of outputs equals the amount of leverage you're going to get. Keep doing it. All right?
Sounds
Everybody,
good.
The answer is in the actions, right? You'll find answers that way. Just take an action. Keep doing it. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Santi, it's great to see you, buddy. We missed you.
Do I look tanner?
You do.
A little bit?
Yeah, look a little tanner. Wow. You look a little happier, too.
Oh, okay.
Do you feel refreshed?
I feel
sleepy. Or were you tired from the flight?
A little, still, like, lagged a little bit. Yeah. I should probably sleep more.
But you always get here on time. I always worry about you.
Because
I said, something's
no,
not going to get here.
No, I'm not a late person. I'm not one of those people that would show up late to a job. Yeah. I know people that do that, and I've met coworkers that do that in other professions I've had.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't be – I'm not that type of person.
We'll talk about that next. The next podcast will be 10 things that take no talent. We'll go over each one.
10 things. Okay, sounds good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves. Share it.